In the Fale is a music show on ABC Radio Australia, hosted by me, Paola Tukefu. I'll be spinning my favorite tunes from dancehall to disco, calypso to country, reggae to roots, and hip-hop to house music, from across the eras to keep the kids and the aunties happy. If it has a pumping groove, I'll be bringing it to you to bump you into the weekend.
Search up In the Fale to listen online or find it in the ABC Listen app.
This is an ABC podcast.
This is Neej and Footy with Sam Wykes and Chinidal Arona on ABC Radio Australia.
Yes, hello, geta to our PNG listeners and Jerome Loy, if you are listening over there, brother. But welcome everyone to Neej and Footy. It is the best place for Pacifica footy news and stories in the rugby league and rugby union worlds. My name is Tinirau Aruna, and alongside me each week is the birthday boy himself, Sammy Wykes. Hammy, happy birthday for the weekend, brother.
I can feel the excitement. I can see it on your face. I can see a couple of scars on your face as well. Another big game.
I said hammy because I got a sore hammy, a tight hammy. I've also got a couple of scratches here on my head because we played yesterday. Got the win, but your birthday over the weekend.
38 candles.
38 years
cakes
young.
Cakes and candles, as they say, and I'm feeling good, T. It's been a year of really good lessons in life.
Yes.
Life lessons. So, learnt a bundle, and I'm going to take that into the coming years, into life.
It's cool to see you come out the other end, because I've seen you in those dark places.
Was I a bit stressed, was I?
Well, I tried to have some words here about this business of yours, but you're in there. Yeah,
in the trenches, you're trying good. Your best, but hey, all good. I love being here with you, my friend. So hopefully we have many more years on here where we can celebrate each other's birthdays, because this is my wheelhouse. I just love talking footy. I love talking about our people, and we certainly have a big show planned. I love that you threw Jerome Luai in there in the intro. How good's that?
We will get to that shortly.
We will get to that. So stick around for our thoughts around Jerome Luai potentially playing for the PNG Chiefs. But we also have our guest for today, the great man, Donny Singe. How good is this bloke?
Yeah, if you remember Donny Singe from last year's interview, he spoke about how to get the best out of his players and how he drilled some of those training sessions. Were pretty tough, but about body movement. If you couldn't do a chin-up, you shouldn't be doing heavy weights.
I'm pretty sure the words were, I cane them.
But then at that time, he didn't have a role in the NRL. Now he is working with the North Queensland Cowboys as a leadership manager.
I think he sits in between the players and the coaches around high performance.
Yeah.
Okay. So
and how to bring in alignment with alignment. The club or staff members.
Yeah. And this chat is for you if you want to know about finding the truth, where to find the answers, because it's not external. It's right with your mate next to you.
And I can guarantee you, if you just listen to this one, grab a notepad.
Yes.
By the end of this show, you'll have a whole list of notes to gain from the great Donny Singe. So stay tuned for that one.
Moment of the week.
Yes, I mentioned it earlier. Jerome Luai has made his way over to Papua New Guinea to check out the facilities of the PNG Chiefs, who are to be introduced to the NRL in 2028. Now, there are some clauses in Jerome Luai's contract, and he has to make some decisions. What I love about this, though, is that he's decided to go over mid-season, check out the facilities, and just get a gauge on what that might look like if he was to make that decision to represent the PNG Chiefs.
First question that I want to ask you, mid-season, Tigers are flying, he's their co-captain. How do you think that looks, though, from optics around leaving mid-season to go look at a rival club, if you're a Tigers fan or if you're part of the playing group there?
Well, you think of some of the media that has come out of the Tigers camp, and they look like a very well-connected team. Sala Tongatuki spoke about them being a family. I could only imagine that Jerome Luai you know, informed Benji Marshall, and I reckon Benji would have encouraged him, go check it out. Like, I don't think there would have been any, this is just speaking from my views and opinions, but I don't think there will be any ill thoughts. I think they would have all backed them.
Yeah, I'm with you on that, actually, because I think this is such a very unique situation around securing your future. Because there's still a bit of an unknown for a lot of the players, what does PNG look like? Some of them haven't even been there, and you talk about facilities. Yeah,
well, Jerome's the first one.
Oh, I mean, as in like even just playing there. So like it's a very unique country to go to say that this is where I'm going to move my family and play my footy here. So if I'm in Jerome's shoes, I'll be going over there for sure before I make any type of decision.
But what a play from the PNG Chiefs.
This is
the guy. When you think deeper into this, you think of all the players across the NRL, Jerome Luai and the connection that he has to success, the players. This could be their whale.
The top of personality, yes,
that could gain and bring other big fish to the PNG.
Well, you always talk about the glue men of a team. How important the glue men are to a team. Jerome Luai is definitely that player. And there's just a part of me. There's a part of me.
Don't say it.
I feel like he's going to get the band back together in PNG.
So 2027, Biz's last year at Panthers.
There we go.
Nathan's last year. Spencer Lenu's last year.
Tax-free dollars, baby, surely.
If it makes sense, it makes sense.
Well, but when you think about like going over there and what it would mean to the people, I think that would be next level. Like he's not even signed yet and there was already people meeting him at the airport. One person in particular meets him at the airport, their Prime Minister, James Marape. He's there at the airport waiting for him and saying, yeah, he's coming to my house for dinner to try and convince him PNG is the place for you. I just think this could be an unbelievable move.
And just lastly, to clarify, he is only there, nothing signed, but what we will do is keep a very close
eye. We'll
keep
it a close eye.
And keep everyone updated.
I'd go there before the Perth Bears, that's for sure.
And next time I speak to Jerome, I'll be asking him, hey, come on, give me
give
something.
Give me an insight.
Give me something.
Nah, I love that. Let's watch this space and see what happens.
Yo, I'm Filetti Mateo, and you're listening to Legion Footy on ABC Australia.
DJ Filetti Mateo, what a voice, man. But round eight, Anzac round, Sammy, some huge games. They've all got storylines. You know, there are teams that are doing very well, but there's also teams that are not doing very well. But what I will do is cover a few here. I thought the Cowboys were very strong against the Cronulla Sharks. On Saturday, we had the Anzac games, three back-to-back-to-back games. I love the Roosters, the red, white, and blue. They just know how
to
play
this game. Did
you see
this one coming?
Oh, yes, 100%.
Like, as in the scoreline?
They could have scored a lot more as well.
Really?
Yep. The Roosters winning this one 62 points to 16, but the Dragons, they remain in this competition winless. Straight after this game, we have the New Zealand Warriors take on the Dolphins in Wellington, New Zealand. The Warriors winning this one 20 points to 18. They sell out as well. Great scenes.
I haven't seen the cake tin in Wellington packed like that. Oh, man.
Highlanders versus Hurricanes. Grand final.
Grand final.
When Lima Supporter.
That's what it looked like. You know, the buzz around the ground, you know, there was the Warriors marching towards the stadium, like as in the Warriors fans. That's what it looked like to me. Like that was the last time I seen the cake team packed out like that. I think it's unbelievable scenes. And yeah, they obviously got the job done to the Warriors.
And then straight after that game, the last game on Saturday night was the Rabbitohs versus the Storm in Melbourne. Tullis Duncan scoring a trifecta. The Rabbitohs winning this one 48 points to 6. That means 6 losses in a row for the Storm. Craig Bellamy, the coach of the Storm, he mentioned after in his post-match interview, he was embarrassed. It was an embarrassment of a performance, and he could be making some changes because he's stuck with the same team for the last few weeks. That rule change has an impact.
Because they've always been a big wrestling team, haven't they? Like, you know, with...
They were, yeah, okay. But they also like to play at their pace.
Yeah, okay.
If you think of Kemp Smith, Harry Grant, whenever they get those penalties, go to the ref, all right, let's play at our pace. But recruitment is also key when a big rule change like this has an impact on the game. Yeah, with the fast rucks, you need fitter middles. The game's gone a lot faster where...
So you don't reckon they're fit enough? I just find that, like, I'd find that very hard to take as criticism. A Melbourne Storm team that's not fit enough.
No, I'm not saying they're not fit enough, but maybe the personnel... Maybe there might be some personnel shifts where Craig Bellamy would be like, okay, maybe he doesn't suit this.
Yeah,
this
okay, gotcha, yeah.
I'm sure that they'll turn things around. But the Rabbitohs look just, they look strong. They look good.
For me, they're slipping under the radar.
Well, when you've got Latrell Mitchell, you can't slip under the radar.
Yeah.
He's one of the best players in the game.
Well, maybe that's just the competition where it's at the moment. There's so much happening, you forget about all the other storylines.
That's what I said. You could look at every game, look at every team, and everyone has a story. Yeah. There's some story, whether it's a player going to PNG, whether
a coach getting sacked.
Coach getting sacked. It's like a soap opera. Even the Broncos missing 13 players this week and still be able to beat the Bulldogs 32 points to 12.
Oh, yeah, there you go. I even forgot about that game. Wow.
And then Manly Seagulls, new coach, four in a row.
That just happened yesterday.
So, and we're only round eight, so there's still plenty of footy left to go. We've got State of Origin coming up. We've got Magic Round coming up. We've got the women's NRLW season about to kick off straight after the State of Origin. So it's just nonstop this season.
Okay, well, I'll give you a break here. Let's get to the ad break of Rugby Union.
Hey, this is Digby Owani, and this is Nation Footy that you're listening to.
You all good, man? You got your breath back?
Yeah, I was just waiting for you to come in and give us a hand.
So I thought I did, but there's so much
there's too much to cover.
But let's get over to Super Rugby. It was Super Round in Christchurch, and 100% it was a hit. Sellout crowds throughout the weekend. The city of Christchurch looked like an absolute vibe. And that stadium, first class. The ball movement, the tries that were scored. It really entertained the crowd, and I thought they did an amazing job. I'll kick things off from where we left off on Friday, because we talked about one of the world's best centres, Lester Fainga-Anuku, for the Crusaders, having that positional shift from the centres to flanker against the Waratahs, and he was best on ground.
Scored a try as well.
Scored an unbelievable try, but he didn't look out of place at all.
Did we see him with the ball in his hand more? Did we see him in the rucks?
About 15, 16 carries.
Does he stay there then?
I don't know. I think it could be, but we need to see another game there as well so he can get tested. I think that the Tars tried to test his knowledge around line-out time as well, around he's the ripper of the driving more, where he's got to go in and grab the ball when the jumper comes down. The Tars tried to hold off and not contest the more. So the rule is if you don't get two players into the more from the defensive side, it's not a more. So you can't transfer the ball back because there will be an obstruction. So what teams do, they either turn and run or you just got to hold it there and you can still move forward. So Leicester had to make the decision to make sure that he kept the ball in his hands and didn't transfer the ball back. It's a hard thing to do
when your eyes are down. Is it a turnover? Is it a penalty?
It'll be a penalty to the other team for obstruction. So he had to make that decision on the fly and just hold it there and won his team the penalty.
How do you understand that? Like, do you get a feel for it?
You get a feel.
Or is there people there going, oh, you got two and
yeah,
hold
so
it.
As a jumper, so I'd be the jumper coming down and the lifters that are facing forward, if you don't feel the hit and engagement from players, there's a call that will happen.
You turn and run.
Yeah, there's. Yeah,
Was he the jumper?
He was the seven ripping the ball. So the jumper will come down and I'll pass it to him.
And he'll just hold it. Yeah, okay, got you now.
Yeah. So his rugby IQ in that area, he's obviously done his homework. And like we said on Friday, if I'm Angus Crichton coming over from rugby league, I'll be watching that game and watching Lester Fainga-Anuku, way he played seven, but also watch the way he plays in the centres, because I believe that would be Angus Crichton's, I reckon that'll be his superpower.
Yeah, I think it's different defensively because Angus at the moment hasn't had to tackle anyone that's over 110 kilos, 120 kilos, and low to the ground, wide, and like bricks.
And different body shapes, not just that one, but you got a 6'8" person, you got a 5'10" person. So
you look at the average NRL player, they're all similar size,
yeah,
other than
wrong.
Payne Haas, Homole Olakau'atu. But the rest are all similar sizes. So
I reckon he'll do all right there. He'll just play to his strengths. Just bend the line, son. And then in the results, we've got the draw. They went down to the Chiefs, 44 points to 22. Moana went down against the Hondas, 27 points to 17. Some unbelievable tries from Moana. Lead convert. Remember Israel Liotta from the Broncos? He played on the wing for Moana. Crossfield kick, man. He's got some hops on him. He leapt up high and grabbed that and scored a great try.
Could be a good one for the Perth Bears.
Could stay in union. It's a little dig at our producer, Phil. He loves the Perth Bears, and we're into him. They're going to be flops in the NRL. No, that's a bit harsh.
Don't.
Flops. Did you see Augustine Bullell's try for the Minor Pacifica? Got grass cutted, does a flip and a cartwheel straight over the try line. Scores.
And then scored it.
It scored it.
Yeah, his feet went over his head.
Absolutely, it did. And then he scores that try. So there were some really good tries scored there from Moana Pacifica. But what I do really want to talk about, again, I'm not going to let it go, is the future of Moana Pacifica. They had World Rugby Chairman Brett Robinson and CEO of Super Rugby Jack Measley at Super Round. And they were asked about, you know, the future of Moana Pacifica, the comparison to where rugby league is in the Pacific compared to where rugby union is. And
what was the question?
So just around, is the future of Moana, but also is rugby union at risk of losing the game in Tonga and Samoa to rugby league?
Yeah, okay.
And this is his question. He goes, I have to say this again. This is from Brett Robinson. I have to say again to my friend Peter Valandis, with the greatest respect to your game, we are the game of the Pacific. Rugby's competitive advantage is that we are truly a global international game. We have to stay true to our competitive edge. We have to keep it all in perspective. World Rugby doesn't underwrite the professional games, as in they don't fund the professional teams in, like, say, like the Moana Pacifica, so they can't do that. So he goes, that's not our job. But what we will do is invest heavily in creating and supporting the capability of international teams where we can. Super Rugby boss Jack Measley said clubs needed to be fan-centric and drive revenue and not be reliant on handouts. We can't be sitting here looking at Brett, as in the chairman of World Rugby, for help. Okay, so
when you hear that, what are your initial thoughts? First thoughts?
First thoughts, okay. The game of the Pacific. I'd say Fiji, yes. Rugby union is the game of the Pacific for Fiji. But for Tonga and Samoa, there's no chance anymore. No chance. And I'm going to give you an example here from Tonga. So last week, we had a top rugby school from Tonga called Adele over here touring Sydney. So they stayed at the King's School, which is a rugby school. They did an amazing job hosting them. But when they went for a tour of his facilities to go see what high performance looks like, to get out and about, you know, on their day off, they went and visited a rugby league code. And they went and visited the Bulldogs.
And who were the boys' favourite player?
Favourite player, Stephen Crichton from rugby league. Absolutely. So that's a Tongan rugby union school, Adele. And their favourite player is Stephen Crichton. And the Bulldogs welcomed them with open arms for them to come and tour their facilities, go to their training run, get to meet the players. So as a teenager, if I'm in their shoes, they've already planted the seed for me that, like, I'm on a, oh, how good's rugby league?
And you also look at the international game, whenever the Mate Matonga or the Tongan international team are playing, whenever the Tor Samoa are playing, the amount of fans, the amount of people that actually go into the games, not watching from home, they go into the stadiums. 2 years ago when we had the PAC Champ final, Tonga versus Australia, the Red Sea turned up. Last year we had Samoa versus New Zealand. At another packed house there.
So we're not, you're not wrong. When I hear the words like, we can't be looking to World Rugby for a handout. I don't like the word handout because it's always established. It's like, oh, we're a burden. Oh, here's another handout. And I get it. The Pacific Islands, Tonga and Samoa, when they've been given money in the past, it probably hasn't gone to the right areas. So I get why they would feel that way. But if I look at what rugby league are doing, they're investing in the Pacific, and that's off the back of the biggest stars in the NRL choosing to play for their cultural heritage over contracts. So those decisions of those players have had to force change to eligibility rules in the international game, but also their biggest product being State of Origin. Rugby league adapted. And they go, we're going to invest more into this. And then we've seen it. We've seen Tonga and Samoa nearly pack out Lang Park in Brisbane. You know, we're seeing an investment from government levels that PNG will have a side in the NRL. $600 million. They're not saying a handout. It's an investment to grow the game.
More opportunities for pathways for these kids. You look at the amount of teams that we get to choose from as well in rugby league. You know, we're about to hit 20 teams in the NRL. You go to rugby union, there's only a few teams to pick from in our region, in both Australia, New Zealand, the Pacific.
Yeah, so,
but you remove Moana, that's one less team.
Exactly. So rugby union or the Pacific Islands, our talent are hamstrung to be able to freely move everywhere and express themselves and take their talents elsewhere, because you talk about the normal model of a team. Like if Jack Mees is saying fan-centric, well, yes, that makes sense in theory, but Moana Pacific doesn't have a home base to play out of. So how can you get fans to come through the gates and rely on ticket sales? We don't have the same economic structure where sponsors are just going to throw money at a team to help them out. Like, that's not going to happen. So it's not a level playing field. And then if we add on the fact that, yeah, the eligibility rules is what's killing us. If we open up those eligibility rules, we then have a fair chance to then probably drive more revenue. That's our biggest asset, is our stars, because we don't have all the other things like all the other clubs have. So open up the eligibility rules, even if it's just in a World Cup year. So then it can be, you know, so the players can have a choice to move around without feeling like, nah, I can't do this because we don't have the money for it. I need to go to these other teams. So yes, the comments are probably, you know, fair, I guess, from a normal lens, but you've got to look at it from a Pacific Island lens. And I don't want to see this team die. So yeah,
we'll go down swinging.
We'll go down swinging. Absolutely, we will. But that's us for Rugby Union. Let's get over to
the great man, Donny Singe.
Hi, I'm Robert Derby from North Queensland Cowboys, and you're listening to Nation Footy.
D, this is the first time we have had a guest back on for a second time. And after the first time we had him on, I was hoping I'd never see this bloke again, because if we remember what this bloke said, and it got posted up on social media, it went viral. It was, wow, it's scary.
And I'm motivating.
Yeah, a bit of both. Or some might say scary, some might say motivating, depending on which way you want to see it. But let's have a listen, and we'll refresh everyone's memories.
Even the guys that I'm still training now, body weight. I cane them. I drill them. Push-ups, burpees, dips, chin-ups. Because once you master that, nothing can hurt you. Nothing will scare you. But when a preseason comes, and you know I'm going to bend you into the ground, I'm going to make you get up and run, get up and down off the ground. Man, if you're not used to moving your body weight, that's a whole lot of pain. It's a whole lot of hurt. And you're so worried about that, you can't focus on the skill side of your game.
Donnie, push-ups, burpees, I'm going to hurt you. I'm going to bend you. Mate, the amount of people that actually love that clip, of you speaking so honestly about that. I got so many messages saying, yeah, I'm going to do that to my son, my daughter today. The coach is messaging me. But since then, mate, you know, how have you been? Are you still caning young Polynesian boys and girls?
Yeah, you know, actually, it's going to get worse. Now
it's going to get worse.
Now I've got more power because I can do it not only from a distance, but I have lots of tools and vessels around me which are actually smarter than me, and they can have sustainability and longevity when delivering the pain, and you just can't get better than that. Surround yourself with smart people all the time, men. Don't be the smartest person in the room, because you can utilize all those other smarties around you, do things safely and do things for a long time.
Oh,
I'm fantastic, gentlemen.
I'm looking forward to this chat, because last time we spoke, it might have been offline, and you were talking about a role that you were looking towards at the North Queensland Cowboys. I see you here with your Cowboys training shirt on. After we spoke, not long after, I seen the boys all running up Castle Hill with a bunch of sandbags, and they were sprinting. I go, Donny Singe has arrived. He has arrived. Talk us through, you know, what's your role at the North Queensland Cowboys?
Yeah, look, that's a great question, because I need to just tidy that up there. But now, into them running up the hill, but you know, Paul Bowman's still he's the head of performance here, and Dan Grange is he takes charge of all the weights and conditioning. So it was those two guys. All I put in there was, let's go up there and let's carry some stuff, you know. And so we all work together very well. But my role here at the Cowboys is leadership and culture. And when I say culture, I mean the football culture, how we integrate all our different, and we've got a lot of different cultures up here, and how we integrate that, plus the North Queensland people and the communities up here, plus the most important one of all, football culture. And my job is to come in here and connect those, be a conduit between all the different departments and the leaders, and get things done, man. The right people in the right places doing the right things. All the people who are here now are the right people. And now all we're doing is make sure that they're well positioned and they're well resourced. And my main job is to ensure that that flow of communication, energy, drive, to get good outcomes for everybody, in particular the players, is occurring.
They call that aces.
How's that?
They call that aces in their places. You know, don't you steal that one? You can have that one. So all the aces are in their places at the Cowboys.
Oh, thank you. Hold on.
Write that one down. All right. Write that one down. But
Hey. Aces in their places, but you got to have a full deck of cards to play the game, man.
Oh, there's counts. An add-on. I'll take that and add it on.
You know, perfect. I'm the joker.
You're the joker. That's the one we throw out. and all the card games. But, you know, in your time in rugby league, you know, what was it that you saw across your time that you wanted to have a role like this, that a role like this was needed in a football club?
Yeah, look, I was always lucky. I really put things down to the environments and the people that I worked with. And during my time, I was so fortunate. Everywhere I went, yourself included, working with people, man, I just managed to. I was just blessed to attract people who were very interested in helping me be better. But and when I say that, what I mean is, they would take interest in what I was doing. They would treat me as if I was always doing something above and beyond. And by them doing that, it was really easy for me to not only learn from them, but it was always very easy for me to find ways to give back. So I would go out of my way above and beyond to learn something new, so that every time you bumped into me or every time I interacted with you, it was a really good, healthy, strong interaction. In my time in football, players, coaches, administrators, I very quickly learned that we all want the same outcome, but we've got so many different ways and contexts to look at it. And sometimes that can get in the way of us all moving in the same direction. And, you know, one of the biggest things about performance, and this is the answer to the question really, is that for a long time when I started, you know, the performance gaps that I went after were the physical ones, you know. But since then, after, you know, 20 years now and counting of being in at the head of departments in the NRL, performance gaps, they're not just physical, mate. They're very human. They're very human. And that's all I've learned, especially in the last 9 years of my career, because of things that have happened around me, things that have happened in the game, and things that have happened to me, and things that have happened to people. If you want sustainable and repeatable success, you know, you're not going to get that just through metrics, through coaching, through gym work, through athletic development, through wrestling. You know, you're going to have fun, but you're not going to get it, all of it there. So you've got to find the human elements. And what I'm very blessed with is that the North Queensland Cowboys were able to see that instead of trying to plug holes by creating uncertainty and you know, removing elements, this organization took a breath and said, okay, this is what we've got. And the first thing they said to themselves is, are we using it effectively? Are we optimal? Like, are we actually getting the best out of what we got? And they went through their process. Todd, to his credit, went through a really personal, powerful process, and they were able to allow me to design a leadership and culture program that this club has fully brought into with a lot of vigor and very high motivation. So we're in the fifth month of that applied program. It's very much based on relationships and connection. It's very much based on learning about each other instead of applying things to each other. And, and the last thing is, and I'll quite happily say it, you know, I'm a coach. I've built my credibility to do this in the arena, boots on the deck, on the field of NRL Clubland. And, I know what pressure is, and I've led coaching departments and I've led athletes through real experiences, and I know what culture looks like from the inside because I've lived it for 30 plus years in elite sport, and I've developed personal skills and professional performance skills that give me an advantage of a language and frameworks which build true connections to bring genuine growth to the organization and the team.
Mm. One thing
that's a big massive plug I give myself. So anyway, yeah.
I was locked in, that's for sure.
You got me sold. But one thing I have witnessed, and we've all witnessed, is the rise of, or the re-rise of, Jason Taumalolo. You know, he's been strong Tongan leader, a leader within that playing group as well. So I've seen, we've got to see, him rewind the clock back, and he's playing some of his best footy. So whatever the Cowboys or yourself or Toddy is doing, you're bringing the best out of him and also the players around him. So have you been able to understand, or have you seen a shift in how to bring the best out of players just through how times have changed? You know, players at different time where, when you first started, you look back at the Manly glory days and how the behaviours of that environment. But times have shifted now where you've got social media, connections probably a big piece, understanding people, bringing the best out of them. Have you seen that shift and the differences from then to now?
Yeah, I've had the pleasure of writing that. But like yourself, men, you know where you were in the game and where you are in the game and what you see in the game now. You know, that whole point around that transition, and Manly came back, dropped a lot of that glory on me last Thursday, which I wasn't too happy with, but hey, I'll just take that on the chin.
Oh, we'll get to that.
We'll get to that 4-1. Yeah, perfect.
yeah. But look, here's the thing. You said the word connection. You know what it is? It's I'm gonna even make it an easier word. It's clarity. This is people are gonna say, oh, here we go. It's about people being safe enough to speak their truth or tell the truth. It's as simple as that. You know, when you put a man or a woman on the field, right, that they're inside this rectangle. There's some posts at either end, and there are 13 people on the other side who are preventing, stopping, or attacking. It's a game of invasion. And what you're trying to do with your 13 mates is promote the ball up the field and put that ball down on the white line, right, behind the post. And what they're trying to do is they're going to stop you any way they can using their bodies and their skills, and they're going to work together. And it's a real battle of attrition, and it's physical, and it's mental, and it's depleting, and it's all these things, right? You know what you're doing. You know what is required of you, and you have prepared for that. Right, outside of that rectangle is a different story. And what we've got to do is get the outside of the rectangle, right, as honest as the inside of the rectangle. And that's really hard.
Man.
That's another pearl for you.
It is. Yeah. Clarity, rectangles, inside and outside. Oh, man, I'm writing all this down, and you're right. It's a simple game. It's a simple game at the end of the day that requires simple messages.
It's a simple game played by sensitive, highly mentally structured people. Because I don't care who you are, and I don't care what anybody says when they look at a middle prop. I don't care, man. For you to go out there and articulate your small details of skill to get past and not only join with your team, but get past the other team. There ain't no dummies on the field, mate. There's no dummies.
No, it's simple, but it's hard.
You'll work anything out.
It's hard. You talk about culture, and you talk about the outside the rectangle and some of the things you can control and can't control. And I think an area that can undo a football culture, I believe in this day and age, is media and white noise. And driving a wedge between players and coaches. Are they getting sacked or not? The Cowboys had a fair bit of that last year. And you mentioned, T mentioned Taumalolo, and then you've got Todd Payton and all of that. All of a sudden now, even when you didn't get off to the start that you guys wanted early this year, I don't hear any of that white noise anymore coming through. Like, as part of your job, around that? Are you looking after that area, making sure that that clarity is in and around those honest conversations around player, coach, and all departments of the Cowboys' performance?
Yeah. Look, that's always going to be a tough one. We know that because ability for media to reach so many people, and then social media, and then even if you're not professional media, you can still get, you know, there's information flying around everywhere. We're human beings, we have feelings, and every one of us has insecurities and areas, so that some of these things can be amplified into quite damaging or things that slow you down or take you off direction. Now, one of the biggest areas that I work in is around testing the truth. And testing the truth refers to, I suppose the best way to explain it would be if we have a game, you know, and we're all sitting in the change room, right? And the coach gives the speech. This is after the game and we've lost the game, all right? So we're sitting there, we're in our spaces. Coaches out there, you know, hey guys, you know, let's talk about what didn't happen out there. Let's talk about what we didn't do. You go, bop, 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 you know. Now you're sitting there and he looks over and he goes, Donnie, all right, get him recovered, get him ready, and we'll get squared away and we're out of here, boys. And we'll talk a bit more about it, review. There's that moment, right? Now, what happens immediately after that moment with each player is the beginning of the media defense, and I'll give you an idea. So there's two things that can happen, and one of them I've seen, and I've actually been part of the process to reduce. After the talk, okay, those nasty little things pop out, those phones, and players can sometimes look outside to get either some absolution, some reassurance, right? But they're going to the wrong place. Because what's happening here is this, and this is how we put it. If you want to know the truth, if you want to know how you went, if you want to know why you feel like you do, well, the answer's in that room. It's sitting beside you, or it just spoke to you, or it's a coach or a physio. It's the answer is in that room. Anybody who is not in that room, who did not make a tackle, bleed, a run, kick, play with you, they don't know.
Mm-hmm.
They couldn't possibly know. There's no freaking way in the world they know because they weren't there. But the people in that room, they were there. If you want the truth, look left and right. And they will tell you. And if they say, hey, man, it was a tough day, it is what it is, we're going to move on, man, that one's worth something. If they say, oh, you know, yeah, we didn't do well, the truth is there. So that's number one. Once you hear that truth, your next opportunity to do something about that truth or reaffirm that truth or even, you know, even dispel that is at review. Because in review, you're going to hear what the tactical, measured elements were. This is what we trained for. This is what we did. What's the gap? You're going to get all that at the review, right? So now you've had your truth a bit more solidified. Your dad doesn't know. Your uncle doesn't know. Your old coach doesn't know. And your mum and your granddad don't know. They don't know. So don't ask them.
We don't know on Nijin Footy. We don't know either.
We pretend we know.
We pretend we know.
So this is where I'm going. We've started a process, right? What are you going to do about it? Well, you got training day one coming up. You've done review. You know what the tactical element is that's been discussed. You were in the room before you heard, you know, from people that make you feel better, and that's okay. That's okay. But before you heard from them, you heard the truth. From the people that were in the battle with you, people that were in the fight with you, how they saw it. You got true context, right? Boop, boop, boop. Now you got to your training week. So now you can start working on what those elements were doing, fixing what you're doing. So if you can see what I'm doing here, I'm just talking about a process.
A process, yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Up until you get up to the skipper's run where you can do what, you know, what you need to do, what's going to make you feel good, how you got to, and then boom, you know, come game day, there we go, grab your mouth guard, grab your headgear, grab your, you know.
And go again.
Do whatever it is. Don't think about anything else. Turn up. Boom.
Yeah.
And they go give your opposition the good news. That's all it's about, you know. So the answer to your question for me is what I'm trying to say is media and these elements, right, and I just don't want to sound too callous here, but they're in your head because you let them. No one does anything to you unless you let them.
Yep.
And that's where we are. When you're on the field, if something happens to you on the field, man, it's because you let them. You either didn't prepare well enough or you didn't make the right decision. Well, hey, that's the way it is. And media is the same. You choose what you engage in. You want to watch the news about wars and things, which I'm not saying that they're not important, but where you put yourself is your mindset and how you think. So choose better places to be and choose the sources of information which help you and are honest.
You're right around the word clarity. It definitely, the process that you
right
explained.
Right around the word clarity.
And the clarity that you give the players or the staff members, that clarity straight after a game.
Yeah.
One, and we're probably going a little bit deep, or I'm going a little bit deep here, but is there a skill or a, you know, work to do with players having to accept the truth and being able to sit with the truth?
Ooh.
And
I like this.
You know, that, you know, when you're going away from a game, from the sheds, you know, you're probably, and if you haven't had a good game, you're sitting there, you understand, you know, you've been told the truth by your teammates, from your coach, but then you have to go home and sit with it. You know, you've gone from the highest of highs, now you're going to the lowest of lows and be content. Is there training or is it a skill that they have to work on to be able to sit with the truth and then start going through that process of, how do I improve and get better for next week?
It's sitting with Donnie one-on-one.
Yeah.
If you, hey, unless you're a monk and you're trained in meditation and transcendation and all that, you can't do it on your own. It's impossible.
Yeah.
It's impossible. So get that out of your head.
Yeah.
You ain't doing it on your own. No way. So when it comes to that type of thing, and look, this is something that I'm really passionate about. I'm a 30-year veteran of elite sport and 22 of those years are NRL, right? So this is a plug to the NRL and to other clubs. People in positions like mine, I'm hoping that this is, my position is going to become a standard position across clubs in all codes, right? And I'll tell you why. Because what you just described is exactly what is happening everywhere at the moment, where players from the men and women's and even juniors in the pathways will sit in a space on their own and try and work it out, and that's unnecessary. And what happens is it's about sustainability. It's about being connected every day, and it's about this process of accumulated positive gains. So, and a accumulated positive gain doesn't mean that the information is negative or positive. The accumulated positive gains means that you always know where you are in that space. If there is an issue that's been brought up around a space that you're not doing well, it could be your body weight, it could be anything like that, right? What you want to know is that when you go in every day, someone's working with you on that. It's not mercurial, it's not up and down. You're being greeted the same way when you walk into that club, but regardless of what your performance was, because you've been given this space and you've been offered this capacity to keep growing. And people only believe they're growing if the environment around them is consistent. If the environment is not consistent, then you don't know what the ratios of growth or disappointment are going to be on the day. So the answer to your question is this: that's going to happen. I'm not going to deny that. Of course that's going to happen. I do that. I come home after something and I'm thinking, man, what happened? What did I miss? What didn't I do? You know, what didn't I do? And I sit here and I think about it and I might write it down or I might do something, you know, And then, but the next day I'm ready to move on it. And I've got people I know 100% who I can have a conversation about that with at work, even players. I know where I'm going to get support. I'm going to get truth. So here's the thing. You go home, you do that. You will do that. But when you come back the next day, right, because of the coaching crew and perhaps the well-being crew and the everybody there in that coaching element, they know where you are. You're not an unknown quantity. We know where you are, and we've had conversations. Hey, man, make sure you get to Sam today. Yeah, like there was a lot of information he took in the other day. I was watching his body language, boom, boom, boom. Get down there, make sure that that gap, the score that, you know, or whatever it is that you guys had, if there's a gap in there, let's make sure there's conversations around that gap.
Donnie, we're going to get to Kieran Foran, because I know you have a lot of respect for that man and what he is doing at the moment. Just quickly,
love that,
though,
man,
before you wrap this bit up on your role, how have the players responded to your role in this sort of new way of thinking? Is it new or not? I'm not too sure, but, you know, living with that truth.
Look, trust is the thing you got to build, you know, because there's a lot of lot of things happening in a player's head. Not ignoring the fact that they are always at a very high level of physical activity and mental acuity. You know, they're always thinking and moving. And let's face it, you know, including coaches, we're all oddballs, a lot of us. But the thing is that it's the trust factor. And I'm really confident, and I hope if any of them, which they all, everybody listens to your show. So I'm hoping all the players who are listening to your show for my club, and they know that the smart thing is to listen to your show. I'm hoping that they're going to say, Donnie's spot on, and I do trust them. When I came into this club, and began. I did the first 4 months. So I got here in October, November, December, January, and February, right up to the beginning of March. My total focus and intensity was around the coaching crew.
Okay.
So I was with the players. I got to know the players, but I didn't do any work, any actual structured work with the players, because I wanted to know that the vessel in the area that I was coming from, we were all going to be on the same page, have the same methodology of messaging. We don't have to have the exact same message, but we have to have the same methodology of delivery. That's the most important thing. And so the coaching crew here are absolutely outstanding. And so, you know, yeah, man, I've got Greeny for a start, you know, Blake Greeny. Blake Greeny's got more energy than me. He's a nutcase. And then I've got Paul
Wellman. That can't be true. There's no chance. No one has more energy than you.
Mate,
no way.
Greedy's more than me. And then we've got Paul Wellinger. He's got this. And then you've got Todd, man. And he, I think the beauty is, and what I really enjoy and what attracted me here was that he's very much like those other coaches I work with, very reflective, very, you know, just wants to do the best for those men. And so here we are, get to know the players next. And we went off to Vegas. Then they found out that I really was a bore. But anyway, you know, trust the players, have to trust. And that doesn't mean that means. That means that they see you every day. I could have taken this position as a contractor back in and out, you know. I could have. But that's not going to win trust with the men. You got to be with the men, boots on the ground every day, so they know, they see you, they feel, you know, and you feel them.
Yeah.
So trust is the number one thing to get the shift. And I'd like to believe that that my men at the Cowboys have built some trust with me around my intention and around my methods of helping them to get the best outcomes for themselves.
Love it, bro. I'm sure they do. Final one from us. We spoke about Toddy and head coaches, but now I know you have a good close relationship with Kieran Foran, and you know he's taken up the reins of the Manly Sea Eagles. You know, what are your thoughts on him as interim head coach and how well he's been doing the last few weeks?
Look. I'll tell you what you see out there, and I see it at Tigers. Love, man.
Yeah.
You see that's love, you know. Love can be a rocky road, And Kieran's smart enough to know that when I first started this talk, that's exactly what Kingy and Kieran will be doing down there. They'll be recruiting, positioning, and resourcing. They're not dummies, right? And yeah, but that energy, you know, seeing what came out against us the other night, you know, my men are the Cowboys. That's what I want, that for them. That's what I'm going after, and I'll smite any team that gets between me and them, you know, to get that love into those men and have us be like that. But that's what you're looking at there, is a guy who has a true – he loves his football. He has been through many things in his life, so he has this empathy, understanding, and experience that the men recognize. And he's a competitor, but he's a good person, and they love him, man. Mm-hmm. And that's what you're seeing. And just on that, you know, I went down and, you know, another team that we had a bad day out against was the Tigers, and I spent time with Benji, and same thing, man. His Benji doesn't have a natural smile. I don't know if you notice or not. You know, he's just got that look. He's got the same face. Benji's got the same face, you know. Even when he scored a winning try for a World Cup, he still don't smile, you know. But the thing with Benji is that it doesn't matter what he's talking about. Holy hell, man, he speaks with passion. And men grab onto that, and women grab onto it, and they hold onto that, because what they know then is that if I look over my shoulder, I know who's standing there. And Cowboys, that's what we're reclaiming. And you spoke about that yourself with looking at Jason and the other players. We've got some tremendous leaders coming through there, and then Todd himself and the crew that he has. And then you look at those other two clubs, and that's what it is, man. When they look over their shoulder, not only do they see somebody that they believe is there for them, but they're looking at that person and they're saying, you make me better. That guy makes me better. That is the number one winning leadership level that you want to get to. When people look at you and they absolutely believe that you are making them better.
Donnie
Singe.
Now
we get winners, man.
Donnie Singe, man. You must be like a proud father looking over at Kieran and even Benji as well. Just, you know, you had them as wee ones and now they've grown into men, and to be able to speak truth like this.
I was the only one who didn't grow.
Yeah, you didn't grow at all. But you're very wise, my friend.
At all on there.
At all. But you are very wise, and, man, we almost need like a, I don't know, a monthly segment with you just to come and just ignite the flame in both of us to our audience.
That 30 minutes felt like 10 minutes.
Oh, no, man. I'm locked in.
I'll do whatever you want me to do. You know that.
Let's not go into those areas, because we'll get arrested for those areas. Easy as, my friend. Much love, much respect. And man, I'm going for the Cowboys as well now. You've sold me just because of you.
Love your work, Donnie.
Thank you, gentlemen. Always a pleasure.
Appreciate
Always
you, a pleasure bro. With you Thank guys. You very much.
Thank you, brother.
Give me three answers for this one.
Yes, it is. Give me three.
I'm winning 15 to 11.
Yeah.
Your turn to ask me the question.
Anyway. All right, let's get to these three questions. You know what rhyming slang is? You know, for names and stuff like that? Like, so if my Gary Jack is sore, what am I referring to?
Oh, you're back.
Yeah, okay, so I've got that for you. And so I'm going to give you the sentence, but you got to give me the Pacific Island name.
Yes.
Okay? Sweet. That rhymes with this. You good for it?
Yeah, yeah. Did you make these ones up?
I did. Okay. Who is this Pacific Island player for this one? He takes the cake. You know this person too.
I know him too.
Think of the names that rhyme with cake.
Brendan Wakeham.
What?
Wake.
No. He takes the cake for Noah Blake.
Adam for Noah Blake. That's a good one.
You like that,
yeah,
see?
Yeah,
no point there. Show me the mullah.
Show me the mullah. Bullah. Jareem Bullah.
Jareem Bullah.
Jareem Bullah.
Show me the mullah, Jareem Bullah. You like that, eh?
Smile. So we played a rhyme game.
Yeah, hey, it's...
Nah, it's good. Last one.
The big check.
Roger Toivasashek.
Yes, that's the one.
Could there be more?
Oh, there's plenty of more out there. I was going to do Hong Kong.
Siwa Wong.
Siwa Wong. That would have been a good one.
Anyway.
There we go.
That's it. I'll take the 2 points.
Take the two, son.
Takes me out to 17 and you're on 11. I'll be asking you next week. But that's it for today. Tell your footy-loving friends about Nijin Footy. Find it wherever you get your podcasts or on the ABC Pacific website.
Ka kite.
See you on Friday. This show was produced on the lands of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation.